Welcome to the Art of Tantric Meditation and to the practice and experience of Tantric Meditation. We're going to continue this evening deepening the essential practices, and we'll also add a few practices and talk about some issues that come up in meditation. So I'd like to ask you, those of you who are here, those of you who are just arriving, those of you who are listening in on the MP3, first of all, to suggest that you take time to make your posture firm and your seat comfortable, which, as you know, means creating some lift in your butt, something to prop your back if you're sitting in a chair, some props for your knees and calves if you're sitting on the floor, and just a general experience that your posture is taken care of. During the times that we'll be meditating, I'm going to ask you to sit in such a way that your spine is erect. And if you're very physically uncomfortable in a seated posture, it's completely fine to lie down, but to lie down in Shavasana so that your spine is erect. And I'd also like to suggest that you have your sheets of paper with the mantras and the words of the offering with you. So, as you sit, as you settle yourself in the posture, as you steady yourself in the posture, just take these moments to bring your attention, your awareness, your energy into the body. And we'll do it in the way that we've been practicing for the last week, which is to say, to breathe in down towards the belly and to breathe out up towards the heart. This is just one of the preliminary ways in which we begin to settle ourselves in the inner body and ultimately inside the central channel. So letting the breath flow down into a soft belly and letting the breath flow out towards the heart. This is a practice of embodiment. And with that recognition, that experience of allowing the breath to center you in the body, we'll take a moment to form the intention that during this time together, we're fully focused on allowing the unfoldment of our meditation practice. Whatever comes up, whatever distractions arise, whatever questions arise, we're going to allow them to be there and keep bringing our awareness, our attention back inside. And in that way, we're going to make ourselves open to the movement of the Shakti, of the life force energy in its form as the awakener, so that our inner body and our inner mind can begin to expand and express themselves in their most fundamental way. So we're going to chant to the accompaniment of Krishna Das, chanting the words that point to the experience of the inner teacher, Shiva, as our own awareness, as our own sense of being, and as our own bliss. Then we'll recite the offering prayers. And then we'll just take a few moments to tune into the grace of the lineage, to the grace of the great tantric master, Abhinavagupta, who is so much the benefactor of our practice in this series, in this sequence. So, with your chant sheets close to you, with your body upright, with your awareness moving in the inner body, we'll chant.
Om Namah Shivaya Guruve
Offer our practice asking that all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We offer our practice asking that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sublime joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that all beings be free of grasping, hatred, and ignorance. And we ask that we know the equality of all that lives. May it be so. We're going to invoke now the presence of the great teacher, the great tantric teacher, Abhinavagupta. And understand that his presence and his lineage energy is there, is with us, is real, is accessible. And that what we're doing as we make this invocation is tuning into a vortex of energy. It's actually part of the atmosphere that we access. So imagine in front of you a seat covered with a tiger skin rug. And on it, you see the great yogi wearing a yellow cloth around his waist. His chest is bare, but he wears a sacred thread, a length of silk cord slung diagonally over his shoulder. His skin is golden brown. His hair is jet black, and it's pulled up in a top knot. He wears three stripes of sacred ash across his forehead and a thumb-sized smear of saffron between his eyebrows, sacred marks of his tradition. His eyes are open, and they're gazing at you. And with each breath, you allow yourself to be aware of his presence, which you don't have to visualize. Simply be aware that this presence is with you, that you're sitting in the presence of Abhinavagupta, the Supreme Master of the Shaiva lineages of Kashmir. He's the master of three schools of Tantra. He's an adept at every practice that the great masters discovered for opening up the energies in the body. And as he gazes at you, you can sense that his eyes are filled with love and blessing. You sense his enormous pleasure and his intent that you be opened to the teachings and the Shakti of his lineage. From his third eye, a stream of clear blue light flows. you inhale, you feel it entering through your forehead, entering your own third eye center, and cleansing your brain, cleansing your mind. Opening the veils that hide your purest awareness from you. So allow the light of Abhinavagupta's awareness to fill your mind, to soothe your mind, to energize your mind. From his throat, a stream of clear white light flows. That light enters your own throat, and you feel it purifying your speech. You feel that white light filling the area of the throat, filling the throat chakra. And you understand that this white light dissolves the karmas, the karmic residues created by trivial conversation, by gossip, by falsehoods, by harshness. And you allow the light of Abhinavagupta's enlightened speech to open up your own power to access the truth through words. From his heart, from Abhinavagupta's heart, you sense a stream of golden light. And this light opens your heart, it enters your heart. It's the light that opens the knots in the heart, the knots of separation, the knots of unlove, so that very gently, that inner light can open you to the love that doesn't go away, the love that's not dependent, the love that belongs to the great self, to your unveiled heart. So allow that blessing to flow into your heart. And just sit for a moment, breathing in the golden light of Abhinavagupta's great heart, allowing it to enter you and breathing it back. You can let the visualization go. And now let the energy flow through your inner body. Breathing with the meditation practice that we've been doing this week. Inhaling into the third eye center with the mantra syllable, so. Exhaling with hum. Inhaling now into the heart. The syllable so, exhaling with hum. inhaling into the belly center, into the Hara with hum. Exhaling with so. Now inhaling with hum, with so, and exhaling with hum. Inhaling into the belly center with so. Exhaling with hum. Practices that we've been doing in last week's class and during the week that we've just been meditating together are practices for opening the subtle body, for working with the breath, working with the three centers, the three main centers in the subtle body, which also, of course, correspond to chakras, working with a mantra that's specifically designed to open up these centers and also to help guide the Kundalini energy, the subtle energy that unfolds and gently takes away veils and begins to reveal what's within us beyond the veils. These practices are all part of a particular set of practices that in the tantric traditions are called anava upaya, that is to say the methods for re-experiencing your individuality, for re-experiencing your body, your breath, your subtle body, your chakras, the whole inner geography of your existence as an individual human being. This particular set of practices is geared to helping you make your individual experience, your experience in the body, your experience in the subtle body, your experience with the breath, subtler and subtler until you begin to recognize the utter absolute congruence between your experience as an individual and the divine macrocosm that has become each one of us. So in this process, in the course of practicing with the centers, with the breath, with the mantra soham, which is perhaps the classic mantra for creating our ability to recognize our identity with the divine. In the course of these particular practices, what begins to happen is, first of all, a kind of lifting of the veils of dullness, really, the veils that hide what's below the surface of our inner body. And a lot of the experiences that people have been having are classic experiences of what happens as these veils begin to be removed. There's such a range of experience that we couldn't really describe it all, although those of you who have my book, Meditation for the Love of It, will be interested in Chapter 9, where I actually do describe a number of these experiences. But what I think we do know is that some of them are very expansive, some of them are very peaceful. Some of what happens as these veils get removed is that we become aware of hidden morsels of experience that we've been kind of numbed to. And one person was talking about the pain in her belly, pain that she'd been unaware of, that actually was a kind of residual pain from an operation that she had. I think others of us have that experience as well, that we, as we begin to be more conscious of what's inside our body, we begin to notice all sorts of things that we haven't seen before. We see, for example, that certain of the centers are more open than the others. Very often the center of the third eye, the center of the forehead, is quite open. For some of you, it's the center in the heart. For many people, the belly center, the hara, is harder to access. And one reason for that, of course, is just the fact that we tend to live more or less from the heart up in our society. But another reason is that there's really an enormous amount of emotion, of shame, of darkness attached to our belly. And when I say darkness, I don't mean darkness in the sense of bad, but darkness in the sense of hidden. So much is hidden from us in the belly. And as we begin to open to it, as we begin to access the center that in Japanese is called the hara, and which in the Indian yogic tradition corresponds to the second chakra, what we actually begin to discover is that this center is indeed the center of pure being. In other words, it's a part of us where we can be wordlessly in presence, and where actually the mind becomes very, very quiet, and our movements and our actions begin to come from this place of being, the center of being. There's a very good reason why martial artists cultivate this center, because it's filled with power, with shakti. It's very much a center in which Kundalini operates as the source of health, of physical power, and of the kind of intuition that comes from a still mind. So very much of our practice in meditation is learning how to simply be with the practice as it opens us up on the inside. What this may sometimes mean is that you get to sit through boredom and distraction, which, as you know, are two of the kind of gateways into meditation. Sometimes we sit for meditation and we just don't want to sit. Our mind is very distracted. Sometimes it just feels boring. We don't feel like anything's happening. And one reason for this, of course, is that we're very used to stimulation and to distraction, and it takes a little while to tune into the very, very beautiful subtlety of the inner world when we're not placing our attention on something outside. And one of the secrets that we all learn as we practice meditation over time is that when we learn how to sit through boredom and distraction, what we find is that on the other side of it, on the other side of that boredom, on the other side of that distraction, is the utter, absolute, exquisite experience of divine presence. The underlying power and love that's kind of hidden in plain sight when we let ourselves settle in. Our being is actually made of presence. It's made of blissfulness. And that begins to reveal itself to us as we're willing to sit through the distraction, the boredom, the mental contents that comes up. And then part of what we'll be doing today is working with some practices, some other practices that begin to allow us to do that. Of course, one of the great ones is the practice of welcoming, of simply seeing whatever comes up with the eye of welcome. So, just in this moment, we're going to actually spend a few minutes tuning into that sense of presence, taking welcome to another level, to another layer. So you can refresh your posture. Inhale and let the sitting bones, hips and thighs settle, sink. Let the exhalation elongate your spinal column upward towards the crown. Inhale and let the shoulder blades release onto the back. Exhale and let the chest lift and open. Inhale and allow the crown of the head to rise a little more. Exhale and let the chin drop. And now just for a few moments, without focusing on anything in particular, allow yourself to be present with whatever you're experiencing in your body and mind here and now. Be present with the breathing. Be present with the sounds as you become aware of them. Be present with the sensations in your shoulders, in your knees. Just be present with whatever you can be aware of in your body. Be present also with the thoughts that arise. Notice how your attention, your awareness, can actually embrace whatever is going on inside your experience. That as you become present to all this, you actually are quite literally holding space for everything that arises in your present moment experience. And here there's nothing you need to do. You just need to settle into noticing, to being present, to being with yourself. Now let's take it one step further. So as you let your awareness, your attention move between one aspect of your experience and another, as you let yourself hold your experience, just have the recognition, whatever is arising inside your awareness and your awareness itself, all of it, every aspect of it, is a perfect expression of reality, of divine consciousness, of presence, of Shakti, divine conscious energy. Everything that's arising, the breath, the sensations in the body, the thoughts, the feeling of your body against the seat, all of it is a perfect expression of Shakti, of presence, of reality. All of it is intrinsically sacred. None of it's a problem. None of it is an obstruction. Nothing that you can recognize in this moment is more or less sacred than any other piece of this moment. The reality of your experience as you tune into it, the energy in your body, the energy in the breath, is intrinsically sacred. And notice that as you hold this awareness, the breath may begin to become more relaxed, more even, more easy. The energy in your body may release. Or not. Just let yourself be present to your experience, to the awareness that's able to know that you're experiencing sights and sounds and feelings and thoughts. And also to that subtler recognition that all of this is an expression of one divine energy, dancing as your experience, appearing as your experience, appearing as your sacred experience. As many of you experience, the deepest secret of meditation, especially of tantric meditation, is to include this recognition that whatever arises inside the field of your meditation is an aspect of this divine intelligence, this energy that's constantly creating reality and that is intrinsically divine. You know, the welcoming practice that we do, that we've been doing, is a way of having this recognition. We welcome it. We welcome everything because we recognize that it's intrinsically beautiful. And this is true whether your experience is obviously beautiful and auspicious, or if it's an uprush of anger or a memory or a distracting thought or even a painful thought. You know, some of you, of course, are, and if you stay with meditation, all of you eventually will experience many, many states that are non-ordinary, that are exalted, that are high, states that expand your sense of who you are. And the tantras, especially, recognize and honor and even catalog the meaning of these states and experiences. You know, because the tantric traditions are filled with deep descriptions of what happens as we move through the subtle bodies. They have profound reverence for the experiences that lurk within our bodies, for the Shakti as she manifests during the process of awakening. But it's also true that what's most important is not the experiences themselves, even though they can have a lot to teach us, but actually the process of moving inward, opening up the center. And by center here, I'm talking about the absolute source of experience. In Sanskrit, the term for it is the madhya. It's a word which describes something that's really not describable. It's that spaciousness that opens up as our awareness turns inside, and which meditation is meant to unfold. Meditation is about unfolding the inner space. And all the practices of the tantras are all aimed at, geared to, unfolding that inner space. My teacher was famous for validating everybody's experience. So if you didn't know him well, you would wonder, you know, why it was that when somebody said to him, "I'm seeing blue lights in my third eye," he'd say, "That's so great." And someone else would come up to him and say, "Nothing's happening." And he would say, "That's so great." And someone would come up to him and say, three hawks came out of my forehead and started chewing each other up in front of me." He would say, "That's so great." And he would give an interpretation sometimes. You know, the blue light is the light of God. He would say, "Meditate on that nothing. It's your entrance into the void." He would say, "Those hawks are eating up your karmas." You know, he would often give interpretations, but what I came to realize is that what he really intended to do was to keep us meditating and to inspire us to respect our experience, whatever it was. The reason he did this is because he just so deeply understood that when you place your attention on the inside, when you devote time every day to training your attention to the inner aspect of yourself, that whatever else happens, you're going to become self-reliant in the deepest sense of the word, simply through inner attention, because, of course, where you put your attention expands. Even if you're a lousy meditator, if you keep turning your attention inward every day for a period of time, you'll find that your inner experience will expand. You not only become a better meditator, you become more deeply in touch with yourself. And this capacity for inner attention, this capacity to bring your senses and your energy and your mind inside, is what actually gives you deep personal power. I'm talking about the kind of deep power that makes you able to withstand sickness and difficulty and the ups and downs of life, and lets you ultimately be able to discern what's the right thing to do, and lets you be able to touch with the creative forces inside yourself. So that creative power, the Shakti, which will show us so much as we move on the journey to the center, will eventually, and often over and over again, you know, as I know is happening for many of you, open the doorway into that place that we call the center, the breath within the breath, the inner heart, the third eye, the realm of pure being in the heart of the belly, you know, because as we see, each of these centers can open us up into the center, you know, the vastness inside, you know, what the Zen tradition sometimes calls the gateless gate, the ever-present suchness, the presence, the ocean within the drop, as the great poet Kabir said. You know, Kabir wrote, everyone knows that the drop is in the ocean, but not everybody knows that the ocean is in the drop, that the vastness is inside our own center. And so these focal points that we're meditating in, the focal points in the inner body, are really doorways into the vastness within ourselves. They're entering into these centers as a way of kind of turning ourselves inside out so that we get to see what our body really is. And all tantric meditation, which has many forms and many levels and many layers, is actually a series of strategies for turning us inside out, for, to put it another way, for allowing that space of consciousness, that the madhya, the true center of being, to emerge. The emergence happens on its own. But the practice that we do provides the avenue through which it can happen, and it also gives us the power to hold it, to integrate it, to live within it. So let's just take a moment now. You might want to stretch a little bit if you've been sitting still. And once again, we're going to turn back into the centers. Before we do, I want to offer you another practice that's very key to the tantric traditions, and which, again, some of you will recognize. It's another of the practices for opening up the madhya in the inner body, specifically the madhya, the center in the spinal column. We've been meditating on the inner channel of what's called the front passage, the channel that runs through the center of the body, which is one of the ways for actually opening up the inner body centers and for allowing the Kundalini Shakti to begin to move freely through the body. And this particular practice is a little bit more technical. It demands a little bit more practice, but it's a very, very profound method for integration and opening up both your physical spine and also the subtle nadi, the subtle channel at the center of the spinal column in the inner body, the channel called the Sushumna Nadi. So, once again, place yourself in a comfortable upright posture. And bring your attention now to the base of the posture. We're we're going to start by becoming present to the Muladhara Chakra, which for men is located in the perineum, the little fold of flesh between the anus and the sexual organ. For women, the Muladhara Chakra, the root chakra, is actually located at the very bottom of the cervix, the very bottom of the uterus, right at the doorway of the cervix. So you can bring your attention there to that place, and that may mean tuning yourself into the inner body in a way that you may not normally do. But we'll just take a moment to breathe and become aware, if you're a man, of the perineum, if you're a woman, of the physical root of the body, the Muladhara Chakra, right at the cervix, the cervical opening. And be aware that there in the Muladhara Chakra, the Kundalini Shakti lives. The coiled energy that governs the vital forces as they move through your body. And that as she awakens and begins to flow through the subtle body, begins to open all the centers of your consciousness. So you can imagine Kundalini Shakti in the form of a coiled spring of light. And remember, in this imagination, if you're visual, see it inwardly as a spring of light in the place of the Muladhara Chakra, there in the perineum or just inside the opening of the cervix. And if you're not visual, just feel it as an energy. And then with the next inhalation, feel that this energy moves into the center of the spinal column and gently, gently moves up the center of the spinal column with the inhalation up to the place of the second chakra in the spine, which is just a little bit above the two knobs on the side of the pelvis. So it's about 2 to 3 inches below the navel, inside the spinal column. And let the energy flow up there. And just breathe with it. If you're visualizing, imagine that this very slender thread of golden energy now runs from the Muladhara up through the lower spine to this place 2 to 3 inches below the navel, just a little bit above the pelvis. Breathe in and out, seeing if you can feel the energy in your spine as a kind of electrical conductivity. And then with your next inhalation, allow the energy to move up the center of your spine, up to a place directly opposite your navel, to the Manipura Chakra. Manipura means city of jewels. And the breath flows in and out. And with each inhalation and each exhalation, you become more centered in this place, in the center of will, the center close to the navel. And with the next inhalation, you feel that energy now flowing up into the Anahata Chakra opposite the heart. It's energy inside the spinal column. And And as you inhale and exhale, you feel that energy making you more and more familiar with the felt sense of the Kundalini Shakti in the breath, opening up the Anahata Chakra inside the spine. And inhaling, you allow the energy to run up through the center of the spine, to the place in the spine that corresponds to the base of the throat. And you feel the subtle electrical conductivity of the energy here, breathing in and breathing out. You let this light energy establish itself at the place of the throat inside your spinal column. And now the energy with the next inhalation flows up the cervical spine. And right at the top of the cervical spine, you find the Ajna Chakra, the place of the third eye center, which you're already familiar with. And again, you let the energy, the Shakti in your spine, flow in and out of the third eye. And then with the next inhalation, you allow the energy to rise up through the crown of the head to a place about 8 finger widths above the head. And inhaling and exhaling, you allow yourself to feel the space of the Sahasrara, the topmost chakra. And then the energy with your next inhalation flows down back into the head, into the Ajna Chakra. And with an exhalation, you let the energy flow down the inside of the spine all the way down to the Muladhara, to the perineum or the place just outside the cervix. And then with the next inhalation, you breathe the energy up into the spinal column and you see if with your inhalation you can draw it up the whole length of the spine, all the way up now to the third eye center. And then with the exhalation, allow the energy to flow down the spine, moving through all the chakras, down to the Muladhara, to the base. And then with the inhalation, at your own pace, draw the energy up the center of the spinal column into the third eye center. And with the exhalation, let it flow down the spinal column to the base. And take 3 more breaths. You can relax the focus on the inside of the spine. And just let the breath come very naturally and see if you can notice what's going on your inner body. I know for some of you, the breath may have felt short. For some of you, it may have come very easily. What I would say is that if the breath feels short, you can bring it up to the heart. Inhale and exhale, and then with the next inhalation, bring it up to the third eye, and then allow it to flow down. Exhale all the way down. So you want this practice to be easeful, because what you'll find as you do it is that it will literally reorder your experience of yourself in a very, very gentle way, but an extremely integrative way. It actually begins to bring together the experiences of the different chakras. So I'm going to take a couple of questions. Questions, or if you like, reports of your experience and what we've been doing for the next few minutes. And if you want to say something, you can press *6 and unmute yourself. We are set up for Q&A. *6. And if you've pressed *6 and it isn't working, press *7.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I have a question about kind of how important is the direction, because with both the so-hum practice, I would rather do hamsa, and then also when I go up and down my spine, like up seems to be the out-breath, and then down is the in-breath. So can I do those, or is it really important?
Yes, you can. You can. However, let me speak to the hamsa soham issue, which I actually intended to address on the listserv, but I'll say a little bit about it now. I just got an email from somebody who's been working with the soham practice, and he teaches it, and he was taught it as soham, so on the inhalation, hum on the exhalation. He feels that it's more natural for him to do hum on the inhalation, so on the exhalation, as you're experiencing it. And what I've discovered in my researches into this mantra, which is a great classic mantra that's used in many, many traditions, is that actually very often the same teacher, the same traditional teacher, will give you the instruction to meditate for a while with so on the inhalation, hum on the exhalation, and then ask you to reverse it. So it's actually because the mantra will reverse itself from time to time. The important thing about the soham mantra is, but first, the fact that what it actually is a sound of the breath. And secondly, this thought, soham, or hamsa, it actually doesn't really matter, because they have the same meaning. The mantra connects your individual awareness with the great awareness, your individual consciousness with the great consciousness. So it's fine to do it as hamsa, and it's fine to do it as soham. I'm teaching it as soham because that's the way it's feeling most powerful for me at this point, but if you've been initiated into it as Hamsa, which I think you have, you know, by all means go on doing it as Hamsa. The other thing I would say about the breath, I get, you know, these questions come up all the time, is that it's okay to breathe in and down, and I actually often do that in my normal practice. However, when you're doing this specific practice of spinal breathing, where you're bringing Kundalini Shakti up the spine, you actually want to inhale up, because that is what's going to coax the energy upward. And the, you know, in this sense, the rising breath connects within the spinal column, connects the root energy and draws it up. So even if it doesn't feel natural to you at this moment, at this time, as you do this practice this week, and I'm going to ask you to do it for 2 to 3 minutes at the beginning of meditation, you'll find that your breath begins to be hooked and it kind of will attach to the energy rising, and you'll find that it's natural. And the other thing I would say about rising and falling breath, you know, about breathing in and down or in and up or down and out, down and in and up and down, et cetera, is that, again, in classical tantric practice, we don't stay wedded to one way of working with the breath. We actually train ourselves to play with the breath, with the inhalation, the exhalation, going in different directions. So you in some meditations you'll breathe in and down towards the pelvis, and we do that. We did it at the beginning of meditation, and in other meditations like this spinal practice, you meditate with the breath flowing up and then exhaling down. And part of what this does is it gives you a lot of fluidity with your inner body. So, you know, in tantric practice, we want to open ourselves up as much as possible, which sometimes means breathing in a way that feels a little bit unaccustomed, because in so doing, it gives us more fluidity with the relationship of the breath and the inner body. So thank you very much for asking those questions. They're great questions.
Thank you.
We'll take one more question. So, well, and Amy, you can press *6 and remute yourself. So, does anyone else have a question? We'll take one more question. I know you're all too zonked to speak, but one more opportunity.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Sally, I had a particular question about a pattern that's been happening during all of my meditations. It's been going on for 4 or 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gripping and like a constriction pattern only on my right side.
Mm.
And it's not correlated to excessive mind activity. As I've been tracking it, it just comes and goes, but it's been here a lot, and particularly on the right sacral area.
In the sacral area.
Yeah, particularly there, but the whole, almost the back.
The whole right side.
Yeah, and the whole right side. I've never happened before.
It's never happened before.
Mm-mm.
Well, there are two things I would say about it, and I would really encourage you to continue investigating it. Classically, the right side is the masculine side, the left side is the feminine side. And the way you experience your masculine and feminine sides will depend a lot on your temperament, on how you understand masculine and feminine. But the fact is that, you know, that we are, in a certain sense, binary beings. So very often one side of our body is more open than the other. in my body, the left side tends to be more constricted. A lot of it may have to do with genetics, ways in which the prana flows in your body. There are a lot of reasons for it. It could have something to do with being overly involved in the mind, but my intuition is that it probably has more to do with the way in which you've historically breathed. And what I would say is that it would be very good if you spend a few minutes in meditation actually breathing into that side of the body, deliberately expanding your lungs on that side of the body, bringing the breath down into the pelvis on the right side of the body, and without forcing, just let the breath start to open that side of the body. And over time it will do that. It's really like the energy in your body is bringing to your attention an area that's tight or blocked. So, just work with it. You sort of don't need to know why it's happening, although you may get insight into why it's happening. It's more an opportunity to start opening it up. So that goes for, by the way, any of you who are feeling blockages in your body, which I know happens to a lot of us when we're meditating, is that we suddenly become aware of a place in us that's really constricted. So let the breath flow into that part of the body and even have the feeling, the sensation that it's opening, that it's letting go. We're actually going to do a practice that's very good for that kind of inner work. A practice of actually bringing an awareness of acceptance and letting go into our body. So, unless someone else has another pressing question, we're actually going to go on. And thank you for these. They were really great, kind of universal questions. Is that someone who's just unmuted yourself because you have another question?
Yes, I do. I'm curious why the crown chakra isn't involved in the loop.
Okay, another good question. Frankly, because it's been my experience that it's not always a good thing to deliberately try to open the crown chakra in a meditation practice, when you're living your ordinary worldly life, because what can sometimes happen when we're really focusing on the crown chakra is that it starts to open, and then we find ourselves kind of spaced out of our bodies, and it can make you a little bit dysfunctional. So if you want to bring the loop up to the crown chakra, which is a fine thing to do. Do it on retreat, so that you're actually in a place where you can safely space out. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. Thank you.
The crown chakra is going to open on its own, by the way, in the course of this practice. But as I was saying in answer to somebody in the listserv, Gabriella on the listserv, when these openings occur gently, they are much easier to integrate. So, as you keep doing these practices with the three centers, the other centers also open, and but they open in a way that's it's like they self-open. You're not trying to get them to open.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, thank you for that question. So we're gonna just add a kind of attitudinal practice to our three centers meditations this week. And I want to say a little bit about attitudinal practice. I mean, of course, the welcoming practice is a profound attitudinal practice, and the practice of seeing whatever arises as consciousness, as Shakti, is also a great attitudinal practice. It's very interesting the way the tantras categorize spiritual practice, and it's something that I've always found very useful in understanding where I am and what I want and need to do in my practice at a given moment. In the tantras, it's said that there are actually four types of practice, and that each of them is appropriate for us given our given where we're identifying ourselves at any given moment. So, for example, the practices that we've been doing, which are practices that work with the body and the breath, which in Sanskrit are called practices of the Anava Upaya, that is to say, it literally translates as the method for the method of individuality. So, these are practices that are particularly suited to when we're feeling identified with our unique snowflake body mind self. Many of the practices of the tantras are Anava Upaya practices, as are of course Hatha Yoga practices and most pranayama practices. So the next subtler level of practice, which we've also been doing, is sometimes called Shakta Upaya, which that is to say the method that uses subtle energy. Another name for it is Jnana Upaya, which means the method of that uses knowledge, meaning essentially the method of changing your attitude, of taking what I sometimes like to call a divine attitude towards your experience. And the nature of the Shakta Upaya practice, the quality of the Shakta Upaya practices, is that they work with the mind. They work with your understanding of who you are. So the welcoming practice is a Shakta Upaya practice. It's it's where we actually use the mind to shift our understanding of our identity, and our understanding of our relationship to our thoughts and feelings and sensations. So in the what we could call the dualistic relationship of ourself to our inner experience and to our external experience, there is very much a sense of separation between ourselves as an individual and whatever's going on outside, and paradoxically, a sense of separation between ourself and our inner experience. So in that state, we judge our inner experience as being good or bad or beautiful or ugly, and get ourselves involved in the whole subtle and painful dance of defining ourselves by what's going on in our body and mind. So Shakta Upaya practice takes this tendency to identify ourselves as something and encourages us to identify ourselves as divine. So the welcoming practice is actually a way of taking a gentle attitude towards ourselves. And the practice that we did earlier of seeing everything that arises as an aspect of Shakti, of divine energy, of divine consciousness, is actually one of the great Shakta Upaya practices. It's in my experience, one of the most powerfully liberating understandings that we can have. And it never stops liberating us. It can liberate us from anything and everything at any moment and at every moment. So these are ways of transforming the mind by transforming our understanding. the third type of practice is called Shambhava Upaya practice. And in Shambhava Upaya practice, you have an immediate recognition of your identity with consciousness itself, with awareness itself, with divinity itself. So a Shambhava Upaya practice is the effort of will that you make to recognize that your awareness is identical with the divine awareness. And we'll be doing a couple of those practices next week. They're very subtle. They're most appropriate for when you're sitting in meditation and you've gone quite deep and your awareness has opened up. In my own meditation over the years, and I encourage you guys to do this as well, I always start with very concrete Anava Upaya practices, that is, attending to the breath, maybe doing a couple of minutes of pranayama as we were doing the spinal breathing. And then doing a practice like the practice of breathing with the three centers, or practicing with a mantra. And as my meditation becomes more and more deep, as my mind becomes more quiet, then very often the experience will arise of actually identifying whatever comes up as being Shakti, as being divine energy, and just letting myself be present with whatever is arising with that understanding. It becomes easier, after I've been in meditation for a while, because the focus practice, the Anava Upaya practice, is very important for getting us to focus inward. And then at a certain point, it will often just become apparent that consciousness is just one, and I'll have a moment of that recognition, and then the practice becomes to see if I can stay there. But what I encourage you to do, and what the tantras in general encourage us to do, is to practice these very concrete, specific Anava Upaya focal concentrative practices, but with a Shakta Upaya awareness, with an awareness of the truth that, the truth of oneness, the truth that whatever is arising is a part of the great consciousness, is a part of the divine. So all the practices that help you transform your mind from, being picky and anxious and very focused on, what's me and what's you and what's good and what's bad, all the practices that focus on letting the mind really release itself, recognize its true freedom, are practices of the Shakta Upaya possibility. And what they do is they work with the faculty of imagination to transform our inner experience. And the whole basis of Tantra, as it, especially in the subtler aspects of Tantra, is very, very allied with this recognition of the power of imagination. Because in the tantras, it's said that this universe is the product of the divine imagination, the great Shakti, the great Shiva Shakti, the divine intelligence, love at the source of everything, is creating the mental and physical worlds moment by moment as an act of imagination. And when we recognize our power of imagination as an aspect of the divine, and as a way in which we can experience our own divine creative power, then our personal imagination, which we may be using for sexual fantasies or, worrying about things or conjuring up hideous possibilities in our financial future, or thinking about the pain in our leg and wondering if it's cancer, all those things that imagination can do to really jam you. When you're doing tantric practice, you begin to encourage the imagination to actively identify itself with divine enlightened qualities. The Abhinavagupta meditation that we were doing at the beginning of the class is a classic imaginative practice which allows us to connect to higher powers, to higher energies, and bring them inside our body. So one of the beautiful practices of imaginative attitude, it's called bhava in Sanskrit, is to practice with enlightened qualities, to actually meditate with the sense that we're bringing into our being enlightened qualities, and in this way we make ourselves familiar with that in us which is actually enlightened, which actually has the power of expansion and fullness and love as a natural quality of letting go. So today, in this week, as we practice with the three centers meditation, we're going to take a few minutes to internalize and interiorize two qualities, two enlightened qualities that we are familiar with, which we often haven't brought fully online for ourselves. And these are the qualities of letting go and acceptance. Letting go and acceptance are natural aspects, natural abilities of an enlightened or awake state. In fact, there's so much a part of the awake state, of the enlightened state, that we can experience our own awake self, our own enlightened self, anytime we fully enter one of those qualities. So I'll say this again, to let go of whatever you're hooked to and to accept yourself fully, to accept your experience fully, are both natural doorways into the awake state, because they move us past the sense of separation and judgment, which are the, you know, really kind of the linchpins of the unenlightened state. So, you know, when we're feeling separate from the divine, from the world, from ourselves, we hold tight to our limits and habit patterns, and, you know, we judge and reject ourselves for all the ways we don't measure up to our ideals. So these two simple practices of letting go and acceptance can actually radically transform these separative holding patterns. They're not small practices. And interestingly enough, they are keys to opening the first two centers. Letting go helps to open the hara, the belly center. Acceptance, which also, as many of you know, is one of the subtle qualities of forgiveness, helps to open the heart. And the third practice we'll be working with is the thought of the mind as pure space, the mind of pure spaciousness, the space that can contain the universe. And tonight we'll practice with the three centers from the bottom up. So we'll be doing what Amy finds easiest, which is to say breathing into the belly center first. And you can begin by placing yourself in a comfortable upright posture. And we'll start the meditation, and then I'll ask you to sit for a while with it. The call will end, and you'll be there with your three centers and your practice and the beautiful Shakti that we've created together. So breathing in, let the hips and thighs and sitting bones become heavy and sink into the seat. Exhaling, let the inner spine to elongate upwards through the crown. The chest lifts and opens. The shoulder blades release down the back. The breath flows naturally. And when you're ready, you might want to place one of your hands over your belly, over your lower abdomen, to warm it and help bring your attention there. So begin to allow the breath to move horizontally in and out through the center of the belly. Let the breath begin to open and caress and activate your sense of the hara deep inside. And think of a time when you felt completely relaxed, a time when you really let go. Maybe you were floating in the ocean. Maybe it was after a long run or a long walk when your body was full of energy and you were very, very tired. Maybe it was after sex. See if you can bring into your body, with the breath, the feeling of letting go, this easeful, relaxed sensation of having nothing to do and nowhere to go. And you can also coach yourself, breathing in with the thought, let go, soften, open, let go, and exhale with the sensation, the thought, letting go. And the sense of letting go can actually permeate your body with the exhalation, so that as thoughts come up, the thoughts also let go. They arise and they dissolve. No thought more interesting than the other, dissolving the way clouds arise and dissolve in the sky. And with that sense of letting go, allow your attention now to rise into the heart, into the center in the chest, so that the breath is now moving in and out through the center in the chest. Each breath, a very gentle caress. Each inhalation, deepening your awareness of the inner heart. And as the breath flows in, see if you can allow it to flow in with a sense of deep acceptance. Maybe there was someone in your life who accepted you completely. Maybe you simply can imagine what it would be like to be fully and completely accepted, unconditionally accepted. And with the inhalation, this feeling of complete acceptance flows into your heart. Acceptance of anything that you wish you'd done differently, qualities you haven't fully admired about yourself. All of these are being held in the accepting breath of the heart. Your heart, your deep heart, is big enough, it's great enough to accept yourself, every part of yourself, fully and unconditionally. And as the exhalation flows through your body, you actually feel the sense of acceptance flowing in your body. And even your hesitation, your unacceptance, as you breathe in and out into the heart, there is the thought, I accept myself completely, my body, my mind, my life, my reality, inner and outer. The breath flows in with the feeling of accepting. And as it flows out, you let acceptance deep acceptance flow through your body and mind. Whatever comes up, it's accepted, it's welcomed. And when you're ready, let your attention flow upward into the center behind the eyebrows. The breath flowing in and out, opening the inner third eye center. And as the breath flows in, there's the awareness of acceptance. Acceptance of your mind, acceptance of yourself. Acceptance of any sensation or thought. And as the breath flows out, you become aware that your mind, your inner awareness, like the sky, can completely let go of whatever arises, whatever appears. Your mind, your inner awareness, your space of consciousness, the place that opens up as the center of the third eye, is wide, is spacious, it's sky-like, it's vast. And in that sky-like space, in that open center of the third eye, of the mind, of the expanded mind, of the great mind, whatever arises is accepted. Whatever arises is let go. Even as thoughts arise and subside, that vastness of the inner mind space can accept and let go, accept and let go, completely open, completely welcoming, and letting it all flow out with the breath. And you can sit now, allowing the breath to flow down into the belly. Breathing in with the thought of acceptance. Breathing out with the thought of letting go. And let the breath find the center where it feels most at rest at this moment. Each breath holding the enlightened quality of accepting and letting go. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. You'll be receiving a homework assignment. The listserv remains open. Many, many blessings. So much love. Namaste.